theoldorchard.com.
Yeah, that's where Pierre Maguire is. How you doing, Pierre?
Good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick until 7 o'clock. Pierre, that was a game that was a... we saw the St. Louis Blues. They whatever was ailing them in the three previous games, they figured it out. They forechecked the Canadiens almost to a standstill in their own zone. But you know things have turned for the better. Whether it's long-term or not, we'll wait. But for the better, because that kind of game... Just a few weeks ago, they would have been blown out of their own rink, I think.
Oh, especially after the two goals in 7 seconds. You know, through the neutral zone, you give up one, that's fine. You don't give up the next one right off the initial neutral zone faceoff. But they did, but they found a way to reel it in. The thing that obviously has got to be a little bit troublesome for Montreal is all three of your goals were from defensemen, really. And, you know, I know they don't have Jonathan Drouin, but this goes back to what we spoke of before the season started. It's going to be hard for them to manufacture a lot of 5-on-5 offense from their forwards. And that's where the power play has to be really important for them. So there's not a lot of room for error against the elite teams. I'm not saying against all teams, but I just spent a lot of time talking to Barry Trotz. And the one thing he says is that the league is getting harder and harder all the time. And I agree with him. You know, a lot of people thought Vegas was going to be a soft touch. They're not a soft touch. You know, a lot of people didn't think New Jersey would be this good. New Jersey's really this good. They're for real. Ask Columbus. So some of the teams that people thought would be soft touches aren't. And so the balance in the league is getting more and more apparent, and it's becoming harder and harder to win. But I think the Canadiens have showed recently, anyways, that they can compete with most teams, not all teams, but most teams.
Yeah. For those who maybe haven't been paying attention, New Jersey is now leading the Metropolitan Division. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It's just that might have caught some people by surprise, but they are, in fact, after that win, leading. Okay, we'll revisit that in a second. Let me get back to the Canadiens. And because of what you just outlined, Max Pacioretty was quite interesting in his Meet the Media session after practice today.
I know all my goals have been within a certain amount of feet from the net, and that's great, but that's not realistic to put up big numbers as a line. So we have to find other ways to score, and you know you have to go to the net to score dirty ones, but you have to score other ones as well to put up numbers. We're trying to sustain offensive zone time. That's what we worked on today. I think that was very specific for our line as well, and we're a one-and-done line, and what I mean by that is, you know, we get a shot on net, and then it's
back the other way.
Yeah, exactly, but it takes three guys in sync to recover those pucks and to sustain that offense, so I think you have to have the poise to hold the puck.
All right, Max clearly is not himself yet. You know, with his track record, he's going to start scoring goals, but I think, as you said, a loss like last night against one of the better teams in the league kind of highlights where the team is at right now, and his game is not there. It's not together yet.
Nope, but again, they found a way to get back into the race, and what I would do is take the positives from last night and obviously getting back into the game and not capitulating and rolling over like maybe they would have done earlier in the year. I would have built off of that going into the next game. But what he just said has a lot of merit. In terms of being, you don't want to be a one-and-done line, especially if you're more skillful type players. You have to establish zone time. And when you do that, you're going to open up opportunities, not just for the forwards, but for the defensemen too. And with the way, obviously, Shea can shoot the puck, and I think with the way Petrie can shoot the puck, and now we're finding out Ben can obviously bring a little bit of heat too, which is positive. So I think that's something to pay attention to.
But Pierre, he did go on to say that last year, basically in the opponent's zone, he'd give the puck to Radulov and then just find some open ice. And Radulov, of course, had the ability to find him. And so this is a completely different, obviously, mindset and strategy. He's run out of line mates at this point. I don't know what else they could do, the coaching staff, other than to reinforce some positive stuff that he's doing. How difficult should it be for Max, playing with Deneau and Shaw, to get where he needs to be?
Well, they're different players, and I'm not belittling them at all, because if I were running a team, I could find a uniform for Philip Deneau. I think, you know, I was one of his biggest backers when Montreal got him from Chicago, and I like Andrew a lot. Those two guys on a legitimate top-end team are not top six forwards.
Right.
Max Pacioretty is. So you have to look at it realistically. You asked a very good question, and I'm going to try to give you the answer the way I am right now. It's not to besmirch Danault and Shaw at all. They're very useful players on a good team. They are, but they're not top six forwards. Max Pacioretty is. So it becomes a more difficult type of game for him to play when he doesn't have maybe the same type of element you have to be a top six forward in the league.
Yeah, that said, Pierre, the issue, though, is that also when they played him with top six forwards that are legitimate, he played, you know, some time with Jonathan Drouin, he played some time with Alex Galchenyuk. With those guys, he couldn't find chemistry either, and there's not enough different top six players to try him out with.
But here's where you're so right about that, Mitch Gallo, but this is what we talked about when they got Jonathan Drouin. He's not a natural center iceman. It's just not his thing. And a lot of times, especially earlier in the year that you're alluding to, and you can pull up the stats, he was getting pulverized in face-off situations. So what happens if you're a player on the line like that? You're not dictating the terms, you're chasing. And when you're chasing, you don't have the puck. And when you don't have the puck, you don't have a chance to utilize your skills. I'm not trying to be part of the Max Pacioretty defense fund here. I'm just telling you what it is. And in terms of Galchenyuk, again, they don't want to play him at center. So, you know, again, it makes it a little bit different because he doesn't have as much room to work when he's playing on the wing. But now I would say that, you know, you look at Galchenyuk, he's a totally different player than what he was at the beginning of the year.
Pierre, so Braden Schenn scores a hat trick, and, you know,
I'm not laughing at the hat trick. I'm laughing at that.
Well, there are some people who didn't think he could play center, right?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I know you heard what I told you when he got traded.
Yep.
That's going to be unbelievable for St. Louis because this guy is multi-talented and he can play so many different positions, but he's a natural centerman. And so what it does, it creates slotting there too. Remember now, the year before they lost David Backes. David Backes was a big part of their center ice play. Patrick Berglund was an injured player to start the year. Robbie Fabry hurt himself, and they weren't even sure they were going to play Fabry at center. He's probably going to play wing. So what he does is he plays in the two-hole. He insulates Paul Stastny. I was going to call him Peter. He insulates Paul Stastny, and then they get Patrick Berglund back, and then you can see they can play a four-line game, and Dmitry Yaskin can play wing or play center. He can play in the top six or he can play in your bottom six, and it's not a problem. They've got so many different weapons there because they've spent time team building, and part of their team building was obviously going out and getting Schenn. And I can tell you, that was a hard deal for them to make, and you know why? Because Yuri Laterra and Tarasenko are best friends. They're not just close. They are best buds. That was a hard deal for them to make because they had to explain it to Tarasenko.
So if, as a coach, you believe that your captain would be better suited towards a slightly different style of play that might be out of his comfort zone, what's the best way to sell him on it, to persuade him to do it, to convince him of the benefits, to get it done?
Who do you think he's the most like in the league? That's what I would ask as a staff. Who is somebody in the league that's having success that he's similar to? So when you find out who that player is, you try to illustrate what that player's doing to have success and then pay your player the highest form of compliment, saying, we think that you most mirror image this player, and this is what we think you need to do in order to be successful. But you have to figure out as a staff who he most resembles as a player in the league.
Well, who would you say?
Well, I got to think about it. You know, it's not an easy one to say because his scoring tells you that he's a guy that can be, you know, a 30 to 40 goal scorer, and there are not a lot of those in the league, but his skating and his size tells you that he could be something else. And, you know, I look at Brandon Saad and how Brandon Saad has done over the course of his time. Max Pacioretty and he skate virtually the same. Max is a better pure finisher than Brandon. Do you know? So that's just one example of how it's a hard thing to answer. You got to take some time when you do it. But there are a lot of comparables. They're not that easy to find because Max is a unique package in terms of his size and his skating ability. And what he said that was very true, yeah, you got to get guys going in the net. Everybody knows that. He's one of those power forwards that can score from long range. So if I was looking at a young guy today who I thought was very similar to Pacioretty, it would be Josh Anderson of Columbus.
Well, when I've thought of this before in the past, Pierre, and it's a difficult one. And the name I'm going to bring up, I realize he's not built like Pacioretty, and he doesn't skate like Pacioretty, but he shoots the puck the same way Pacioretty shoots the puck, and he goes to the same areas on the ice. And they tend to be streaky in the same way. And that's Phil Kessel. And I know they seem like they'd be different players, but where they go on the ice and where they score from, to me, seems very similar.
Well, that's not a reach. That's not a reach at all. I mean, one guy's obviously a lot larger than the other. Max is much bigger than Phil. But the speed, the acceleration factor is pretty similar for both of them. And I like that, actually. I think that's fair. Max needs to play a more robust style than Phil. Phil doesn't really check, but what Phil's become very good at, and it's something that's really important in the game today, he forces a lot of turnovers in the neutral zone. He wasn't that good at it earlier in his career. He's very good at it right now, and that's one of the things he's changed in his game to help him. But that's a fair one. It's just the robust part of it. I wouldn't want to take that out of Pacioretty's arsenal, the ability to get physical when he wants to.
RDS's Mark Denis on the morning show with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, Rick Moffitt.
His involvement, how engage or the lack of engagement is what worries me. We've said that. He needs to step out of his comfort zone. He needs to get in there. You know, dipsy doodle in the neutral zone is nice, but then when you get in the blue line, you can't just go right into the defenseman's stick. You need to bring that puck down and maybe, you know, take a body check to protect that puck and bring it back up to the point.
Yeah, something that's an element of Pacioretty's game we used to see more of, certainly.
I agree with that. Last night I was watching Sidney Crosby play with Connor Sheary, and I was watching Evgeny Malkin play with Phil Kessel. And the one thing that really was apparent in that game was that those four players, when they were on the ice, knew how to create time and space when they attacked the offensive zone. It's kind of what Mark Denis is talking about. So there was that limited turnover factor, and what it allowed them to do, even though they lost the game, it allowed them to manufacture tons of chances. And it goes back to what Max said right off the top with the opening soundbite. You can't be one and done. And when you watch Pittsburgh play now, one of the reasons why they've gotten back into the race, they're not a one and done team. At the beginning of the year, they were a one and done team a lot in the offensive zone. They're not like that anymore. And it goes to what Mark Denis was just saying.
Victor Mete continues to gain some experience here, you know, and he's only going to get better, you know, as he plays and stuff like that. This was a good test for him, you know, and I know there was times where, you know, he had his hands full, but that's, he'll never get better if you don't give him that opportunity. So, you know, so it was a good experience for him.
Again, some interesting words there from Claude Julien after the game. Victor Mete against the big, strong St. Louis Blues got 17 minutes. It's the most ice time he's received since the first month of the season, and he struggled. Now, there are other players on that blue line who also struggled, but they're not 19. And the as you know, the junior camp is now underway.
But you have to help me out here because I got that late today, and I apologize. I didn't do my research as much because we got a convoluted show here today. Was he on that list? I saw the mailing.
No.
I didn't see his name, so
no.
I didn't know if I overlooked it. That's all. I apologize.
No. And they have until, what, the 19th to make a decision that way?
Yeah. I don't know if it's the 19th because I'm trying to think back to when I was part of it. I think the 15th, but I could be wrong on that. They may have changed the date. But that's one of those, and I'm just totally telling you, to be fair, if the Canadians have any appetite at all for that to happen, they can't mess. You can't mess it up by trying to, you know, wait too long. Because once they think at Hockey Canada they've established a team that's got chemistry, and if this team's going to win, it's going to be because they've got skill, goaltending, and chemistry. I'm just telling you. Sometimes they can win without the chemistry, and I've seen that. But more times than not, when you got a bit of an underdog team, and this will be an underdog team, you've got to have chemistry right from probably the first 5 days of camp. And if you don't, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, just quickly wrapping up the World Juniors. So they've got three kind of tryout games, part of camp next week, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. So three kind of preliminary games. And then after that, they'll be deciding on the roster. So they need to come up with a roster by Monday the 18th.
That's why I said the 15th. That's what I remember from my time around it. You know, it could have been the 14th, it might have been the 16th, but I always remember that 15th being kind of the number where they really wanted to be sure of what they had in terms of chemistry. There was one time, I can tell you this story, Gord Miller would probably be coming on with you later, he could tell you this story too. We were in Kamloops, British Columbia, it was before the 2006 World Junior. Brent Sutter was coaching, that was a severe underdog team. Jonathan Toews was just a pup playing on that team. Steve Downey, Mark Stahl, the late Luke Bordahl, Ryan Parent, those are the names I remember. It was not a star-studded team at all, at all. And Brent really wanted chemistry. And I remember he cut a player, and then at like 4:30 in the morning, British or Pacific time, he called us and said, we're making the announcements and we're bringing a guy back. They brought a guy who they cut. They had never done this before. They'd cut him. They brought him back because they thought he would add to the chemistry of the team. Eventually, he did not make the team, but I'll never forget that. And eventually, they did build and pick the right. Blair Mackesy was a big part of that, by the way. They picked the right team, and they won a gold medal in a World Junior where most people thought they had zero chance to win.
Pierre McGuire on site, Washington, D.C. Pittsburgh last night for the Penguins Rangers.
The damage works in. Feeds it back in. Fritz score! Off the skate of Chris Letang and in, and the Rangers have regained the lead. Buchnevich has his 10th of the year on a sweet hop by Tristan Jarry.
Last year he had 20 points. This year he's got 21 points. And this is a 21st.
And the Canadians will remember him well from last spring. So they put an end to the Penguins' winning streak, Pierre. And again, the Rangers, they look dead in October.
They did, and they got that done without Hank last night. Andre Pavlik played in goal, and I thought he played really well. The Pittsburgh Penguins played a solid game. That was a good old-school playoff-style game before he got to game 30 in this, you know, during the schedule for both teams. I thought it was a really good hockey game. Probably should have gone to overtime. The Rangers showed me a lot without having Mika Zibanejad there. Kevin Hayes has really stepped up his play. Buchnevich has been very good for them. You heard me say he had 20 points all last year. Now he's got 21. So he's really moving in the right direction. I was so impressed by Ryan McDonough last night. I'm not saying it because of the tie-in with Montreal. If you look at some of the video we built on him and how well he played against Crosby in particular, and Sid was great in that game, but just Ryan McDonough was at a whole other level last night. He was so good, so aware defensively in a matchup situation.
So, Pierre, were you able to get the two sides together on this tax reform bill or what? Any progress today once you step foot in the Capitol?
Absolutely.
Did you tell Trump to name Jerusalem as the new capital? Recognize it as, you know? Were you involved in those discussions or what? No.
Sometimes you got to keep confidentiality.
Chicago and Washington tonight. This is a good one.
It is a good one. It's a very good one, and it's obviously an urgent time for Chicago. Washington's getting it back on track. I think probably people in Montreal are aware they've won six of their last eight. Ovechkin's got 20 goals, the first man in the league to get the 20 goals. There's a lot of positive vibes going on around the team. You know, again, I love coming here because I just hang out with Barry Trotz and we talk about the days when we knew each other from when we were starting out to now. And, you know, the one thing that he was saying about his team is, and we talk about, you know, all these other teams that have lost a lot of players. He goes, I don't have Nate Schmidt. I don't have Carl Walsner. I don't have Justin Williams. You know, and he starts going over all the guys he doesn't have. And he said it took some time for our younger guys to realize that they were actually NHL players. And now they're starting to grasp that concept, and it's working for them. It's really working for them. But that's probably one of the biggest things I think coaches have to do today is realize in the salary cap era how to amalgamate young players into their organization without making them feel that it's that big a transition. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a really hard thing to do.
And Max Pacioretty doesn't have Alexander Radulov. Thanks, as always, Pierre. We'll do it again prior to the Habs and Flames tomorrow night at the Bell Center.
I look forward to that, Mitch. Thanks a lot. Have a great night, everybody.
You know, I think back to last year where I'd get it and I knew exactly what I wanted to do with it. I wanted to, you know, give it to 47 and try and get lost and find space. But I think now I really want to try and be able to hold that puck, try and maybe create some offensive zone switches, but create more offensive zone time myself. And it's a dimension of my game that I've